Every Friday edition, Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Strofe with you from the Gruber Law Offices. One Call, That's All studio at the Avenue Downtown Milwaukee. Joshy DiMaggio will be here momentarily. Will Summers is here. Hunter Vaughn with us, as always, back at the Everlight Solar Studio in beautiful downtown Madison on the Isthmus, which is a word I believe we underuse when we talk about Madison. All right, neither here nor there. Lots to get into after the Packers win again on Thursday Night Football. 27-18 the final, but again, it was cute. Like, it wasn't close like that. And that's the thing that now through two games, our small sample size, it is the Packers have been dominant. 27-18, I think it was 27-17 or 27-13, whatever it was against the Lions. It just doesn't feel like that's the final score. It's not indicative of the games we watched in the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. The Packers have been purely dominant. And in 27-18, doesn't really tell the full story of just how good the Packers were. Another four sacks for their defense. The offense was cooking, minus some of the injuries, which we'll get into. Another 27-point game for this team. Just all in all, I said we can't overreact to week one. I'm ready to start overreacting. I'm ready to start looking at Santa Clara as a realistic possibility. Because the moral of the story here is, the Packers are only going to get better if they stay healthy. And they have now smoked, not just beaten, they have now smoked two legitimate contenders, at least we believe through 2 weeks, in the NFC. So it's hard for me to sit here and think anything other than you are witnessing the Super Bowl favorite in the NFC. You are witnessing one of, if not the best team in the NFL. These weren't competitive football games the last 2 weeks. This was pure domination by the Green Bay Packers, again, on Thursday night against the Washington Commanders. And the big thing I talked about yesterday on Green Bay Game Day was I was so curious to see how this defense would handle a dynamic, elusive quarterback. Handle it, they did. It's cute that these teams have come into Lambeau Field and we think they're going to be, you know, really good football teams and teams that have a good shot to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, both Washington and Detroit. And they weren't close games. It's pure dominance by the Packers. It's almost puzzling. It's almost confusing. But at the end of the day, you are witnessing that good of a football team. 2-0 through 2 weeks. Home games against Detroit and Washington, the Packers are 2-0. I think prior to the Micah Parsons trade, I wouldn't have believed you had told me that. I thought they'd drop one of these. But this has been dominance by the Packers. And now they get a quick mini bye before heading to Cleveland to take on the Browns. We welcome in Josh DiMaggio. Joshy, you're sitting over there giggling at me, maybe my slight overreaction. But again, I don't think this feels like overreaction. I think they're that good.
No, just listening to the way your mind works is a fascinating thing. We are also experiencing the I went to the game bump. So that's a 10% increase.
When we talk Jordan Love, we'll get to that.
Yeah, I'm just giving everybody the context of the way you sound. You were getting the I saw it live bump, and you're famous for that. You've done it before. You will do it again. I think everything you said, the thing I took the most offense to was, it's time we start thinking about Santa Clara. Where you been, brother?
Fair point. hold on a minute.
I've been hold that on. Way since the first
hold
half.
Hold on. Hold on. We do recall the day after they traded for Micah Parsons, I did say they're going to win the Super Bowl. I've been here.
Yeah, but then
but the proof's in the pudding
then
now.
You tempered your expectations, and then you didn't want to overreact.
Hold on. Here's what I was hung up on, though. It's because it was week one, right? It was week one. And sometimes you can get kind of a fluky showing in week one. You can. I mean, we've seen it before, especially against the Packers. The Packers have, you know, dropped duds in the opener and ended up being a really good team. So yesterday was all about validate me. You know, verify that what I saw on Sunday wasn't a fluke. And verify they did.
Yeah, I don't think anything we've seen is a fluke. I certainly think the Detroit Lions are going to look better at parts of the season. I thought what we saw on Sunday and Thursday is a totally overwhelming defense that is of the caliber that can carry this team, that even when the offense doesn't have its best day, which I'm not sure if we've seen for
I don't think we have.
Certainly the second halves have left a little bit to be desired, but it's very real. And I don't think it is worthwhile to temper your expectations, because what we've seen thus far is championship caliber talent all playing together and playing in a way that, I mean, the Commanders looked hapless. They looked completely, they didn't know what they were seeing. They didn't know what to do about it. Everybody's answer to Jeff Hafley's defense and the improved pass rush is dinking and dunking, and the corners are just sitting on the routes. Offense
hold
looks,
on, hold on, hold on. The answer to the Jeff Hafley defense through 2 weeks is very clearly, we don't have an answer. That's the answer.
Correct.
Two of the best offenses in the NFC don't have an answer.
I can tell you what the answer is. It's deep routes, but guess what?
Don't have time.
Hard to do that when Micah Parsons is through the line and chasing down your quarterback in a second or less. So, yeah, that's how you would do it if you were able to. It's just any sort of developing of routes downfield is not going to happen. They're completely overwhelming. They are as good of a defense as I've ever seen in Green Bay. Certainly, I was part of I was alive. I was not really of a football mind in 96, but I was aware of just how good they were at that time. The Packers are not just amongst the Super Bowl contenders, they are amongst the elite in the NFL. And I think what we saw yesterday was the gap between the tier the Packers were in prior to Micah Parsons is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Commanders and the Packers, to me, were on very similar levels heading into the season.
And then with
one trade, everything seemingly flipped on its head, and there's a big difference.
I agree the Micah Parsons effect is real, right? There's no denying that through 2 weeks. But I think without Micah, and obviously we don't have to worry about that or think about that very much, but I think even without Micah, this would have been a good defense.
Yeah. They were very good last year. And
yeah.
People, I remember Brad Nortman saying it's the same exact defense as last year. Whoops. When he said that in 2024, because didn't they finish as like a top seven defense in all the NFL?
I believe they were seventh. Yeah.
And then they got even better. Yeah. And they have a guy who looks to be otherworldly, is an alien, is a force to be reckoned with. At one point, they were triple teaming him. They said, two ain't good enough. He's broken two. We got to go three. Send three at him. Send the whole damn offensive line that way. I think the Packers would have won both of these games if I'm going to try to retroactively look at it without Micah Parsons. But I don't think they would have looked like a virtual unbeatable.
I just want to throw out there real quick before we get to Hunter. Edrin Cooper now has 22 tackles through two games.
He's a machine.
The Packers' record for tackles in a season. You know who holds it?
Blake Martinez.
You're correct. 203 tackles in 2019.
Yeah.
Cooper is pacing. He's on pace. He's on pace for 203. So
yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
And let's clear the air on this. They're doing it in very different ways.
Very different ways.
Blake Martinez.
Blake Martinez was cleaning things up. Edrin Cooper is breaking things down.
Yeah.
That's what's going on. I mean, that guy looked so good. Another half sack for him last night. Rashawn Gary gets a sack. Carl Brooks with half a sack. Devontae Wyatt with a full sack. And Micah Parsons and Baron Sorrell, obviously, with a half sack each. Sorrell's comes, I believe, late in the fourth quarter. 99 will shine. Where's his dad been?
Where's he been?
Where's he been in our YouTube comments? 99 did shine in the fourth quarter last night. Go ahead, Hunter.
There is one aspect to the defense that we haven't seen it yet, and I do want to see how it handles when they have to play when the Packers are behind. I don't think they're going to run into it much, but like when you have those games where, okay, maybe the Packers are down by 10, that the other team is running the ball and running the ball and running the ball on them, I think they're good enough to be able to handle that. It's just through 2 weeks yet, we haven't seen how that gets handled. So that's my one question mark with them right now is, okay, if they run into that, what happens?
Yeah, I think it's a good point.
I think he brings up a valid point. I don't think it's good.
A valid point, okay. Sure.
Both teams have averaged under 3 yards a carry, haven't they?
That's correct.
But the Packers were up by two scores in the first half. So, like, you're not going to run the ball then if you're down two scores. So I think that does change some of the way that they've had teams playing against them.
The Commanders wanted to run, they couldn't to start the game.
Correct. I mean, looking at the drives that the Commanders had, and we did this, I think, on Monday a little bit with the Lions, because the Lions just had no answers offensively, especially in the first half. The same thing with the Commanders. The Packers get the ball to start. They go turnover on downs through 9 plays. Commanders get the ball. 3 and out. Packers get the ball back. They drive 96 yards for a touchdown. Unbelievable. 7-0. They go up. Commanders get the ball back at the end of the first quarter. 3 and out punt. Packers get the ball back. 3 and out for them. Commanders get the ball back. They get a first down on third down, and then 3 more plays, and that's it. So I think it was actually second down, first down. So.
I think the Packers' run defense is very good, and I think it's powered by Ezrin Cooper and Quay Walker. The thing I have noticed is when Quay and Ezrin Cooper know it's a run, it's very bad for the offense.
Yeah.
Because Ezrin Cooper not having to think about what he's doing and seeing and attacking, I mean, he shoots across your screen, and next thing you know, the guy's like, oh, well, there that goes.
Yeah.
I do think certainly a team like the Eagles are going to be a different level of challenge when the run game comes. But there's the Ravens and the Eagles, who are both on the Packers' schedule. Those are the only two that I would be like, oh, they could be dangerous.
Yeah, but these are, and we've used this in the past with the Brewers. Well, right, and the others, debatably, one of the best teams in the NFL. Maybe not even debatably, in Baltimore, who they see at the end of the year at Lambeau. But these are good measuring sticks, right? I think is the term I've used in the past.
That's measuring stick. Everyone calls it that. Yes.
Okay.
It's like
I didn't come up with that.
No. You do have a tendency to think you invent things that other people say all the time. What'd you do to Jason Wilde last year?
Great American Order.
You did not. He always refers to people that.
He did.
I did, because I would always reference rap lyrics, and I would say the Great American Order. And Jason said, did you steal that from me? I said, no, I made that up.
I believe it actually flip-flopped.
Inverse, I said, did you steal that from me?
Yes.
He did it again yesterday at Green Bay Game Day, and I gave him the side eye. Dude, you're stealing my line. You're stepping on my toes over there. Great American Order, Josh DiMaggio. Called my brain fascinating. Brett Noclair chimes in. I don't know if I would use the word fascinating about Strip's mind. Probably a good point by Brett. Chef Boy AG is going nuts in the YouTube chat. He is fired up about this team. He's fired up about this defense. He makes a comment on Jordan Love, which we'll get back to in a moment when we get to Jordan Love. But just all in all, a summary of our thoughts as the Packers now 2-0 heading into the mini bye. No football, obviously, for the Packers this weekend after a win on Thursday Night Football. They're a championship team. I mean, they look that good. The defense is unbelievable. It's still unreal what we're witnessing with this defense. To shut down two teams that many look at as some of the best offenses in football, to completely throw them off their game and not let them do anything until the fourth quarter in both games, that's so damn impressive. I'm so impressed by what I'm witnessing from the Packers defense. Offensively, one thing that I do want to point out, and I think I mentioned it on Monday's show after the Lions game, fast starts in both these games. Now, they didn't score on the opening drive yesterday, but they get the ball back after a 3 and out, and they punch it in from, I mean, they go 96 yards in a relatively pretty fast series of events. So that's something that was a big bugaboo for them last year, was they couldn't get off to a fast start offensively. They couldn't get points on the board. And now they're doing that this year. And to Hunter's point, they haven't been down at all. And it's hard to be down when you're as dominant defensively as you have been in the first half of each of these games. But fast starts offensively and just a dominating presence defensively has it just equals a championship recipe for this Green Bay Packers team through 2 weeks. So really impressive. And here's the thing that I said before, Joshy. This isn't going to be their best football yet.
No.
Micah Parsons hasn't practiced yet.
Yeah, he's not a full-time player.
No. And he has a good chance to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Despite him not being full-time, it feels like he's making a full-time impact.
Oh, he's making an overtime impact, man.
And even if he's not getting a recorded pressure, just the idea of him being there clearly influences both the play caller and the quarterback. It's very obvious things change, and he's just getting pressures at a remarkable rate in comparison to like the league average. But this is par for the course. Hunter knows damn well. Everything he's seen is pretty much, yeah, that's the guy I watched for years.
Yep. Not,
so it's shocking to
hurt
us.
Me at all.
Somebody who, and I didn't mean that to hurt you.
I know.
I was just trying to say the difference here is like we are so unaccustomed to us to this. It feels like something we've never seen or hasn't been seen since Reggie White.
Yeah.
And he's just doing what he does.
It's almost bizarre.
It's another day at work.
It's almost bizarre. It's hard to believe what we are witnessing. Go ahead.
I told you guys Micah Parsons, you know, doesn't draw a lot of flags. Last night alone, there were more penalties called because of him than all of the 2023 season he played with the Cowboys. So I'm not saying that it's because of the uniform change, but it might be because of the uniform change. NFL hates the Cowboys.
Something...
Maybe we can look past the large sample size of four playoff games then.
Well, from the top row. From the top row.
I did notice him campaigning for himself after one of those. He did complete the play, but then immediately turned around and started barking at the refs.
Love that attitude.
Yeah. I also think Matt LaFleur is pretty good at lobbying officials.
Hey, you want a challenge?
He did.
Matt LaFleur won a challenge yesterday.
It's almost impressive as the catch from Malik Heath. I mean,
who saw Malik Heath come? I mean, obviously with the Jaden Reed injury, which we'll get to, which happened right in front of me. I'm going to give you my in-game perspective on some stuff here coming up.
Let me tell you, I had a better view than you.
From your couch?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I got a way closer look at it.
That's probably true. But it was right there. We were right in the corner of that end zone. So,
how many more times is he going to reference himself being at the game?
Well, I'm about to do an entire segment of the show on it, so several. I want to talk about Jordan Love because I want to hear from somebody that watched it on TV versus me who was in the stadium. Uh-huh. Because my takeaway from Jordan Love was, I tweeted this, and you know, some people got after me, including Ryan Wollershine from Jim Atmale. I was really impressed with the deep ball despite the lack of completions. Something about Jordan Love that's worried me, and we talked about this a little bit off air, Joshy, is the deep ball seemed like a risky play for him, right? It was always in, you know, a defender's zone. There was one throw yesterday to, I believe it was Romeo Doubs, where he kind of had to turn into a D-back.
Not kind of. He used both of his hands to swat the ball away. Like he was trying to block a floater in the lane.
So there was one throw where I go, yeah. And then the golden throw that I think it was off his back foot. He threw from the 42-yard line or 43-yard line. And it was underthrown. He would have had a touchdown to Matthew Golden had he thrown that just a little, put a little bit more Coop's mustard on it. But he didn't. That falls incomplete. But, I mean, like, the Jaden Reed play that got called back, where he broke his collarbone, that was a total dot, dude. That throw was unreal. There were a couple more plays where he's taking shots down the sideline. There was another to Golden and he overthrew him. But it was never in danger. He's overthrowing guys without defenders in the area. And you know, it's something Gabe and I talked about on Green Bay Game Day is... I think defenses view when they go up against Jordan Love of, hey, he's going to make a throw where he's going to give us an opportunity. You got to take advantage. He's going to give us some opportunities to take the ball away.
I mean, what is he at now? 10 games without an interception?
In a row?
Yeah, 9 or 10.
He didn't throw one in the playoff game against Philly? That.
Nope.
Yeah, fact check that for us.
They've popped it up on the screen. And they mentioned it last week as well, I believe.
The M-I-A-R-D.
Research department?
Yeah, you got it.
So... I'll say this. This is two piece. I'm going to validate you in one part and then tell you why you're wrong in the next.
I love this.
I think Jordan Love looks better than we've seen at any point last year. I think Jordan Love looks like he's in complete command of the offense. And even when he gets pressure, he doesn't look like a guy who's lost or searching for answers, and he doesn't seem to be making ill-advised decisions. You pointed to the Doubs thing, which was not a great throw, but that was essentially an arm punt. Even if that gets intercepted, what does it matter? It's 60 yards down the field. If they catch it, hopefully Romeo Doubs doesn't end up on his backside and the guy's returning it. That one doesn't mean a lot to me. I think he looks more precise. I think he looks better, and I don't have the oh no feeling that I felt at times when he goes down the field.
I agree with all that.
Part two.
I'm nervous about this part.
Hunter, do you want to put it on the screen here? I know we were possibly going to save this, but...
Uh-oh.
Do you want the graph or the video?
The graph, please.
What's happening?
This is Jordan Love's throw chart.
Okay, so just so I understand, greens are completions,
yes.
Whites blue, are incomplete.
Yep, yeah. And blue is the touchdowns. Also, by the way, Jordan Love, nine regular season games without a pick. He threw three in the playoffs against the Eagles.
Gotcha. It's a regular season game. Gotcha.
All right. So hold on. I'm just trying to, and for those of you on the audio side,
is this
apologize,
the first time you've seen these before?
No, okay. No, but it's the first time I've seen this from yesterday.
Yes.
And I just wanted to confirm the colors.
Yeah. Well, why don't you point out a few things you're noticing?
I see 1, 2, 3, 4 dots that are over 30, or excuse me, I see 5 dots over 30 yards. 4 of them are white, meaning they were incomplete. The one completion is the Malik Heath unbelievable catch that went for 37 yards.
There was one. There is 2 catches over 20 yards, which would typically be considered, if you're catching a 21-yard pass, no one's saying
over 20 yards, he was 2 for 6.
Yeah. And then everything is in the short or intermediate, which I think the intermediate is where Jordan Love is making a lot of hay. The thing
Holy
that,
smokes. Yeah, 10 to 20 yards, he went 7 of 8 with a touchdown.
Yeah.
10 to 20 yard throws.
Yes. And then it's even better when you look line of scrimmage to the 20. So kind of the area you're going to most often function in. I think
this guy's a good quarterback.
I think maybe you've seen plays that have been shorter completions and extended into longer ones, and you've convinced yourself those are deep balls. I think Jordan has a way to go in terms of deep ball accuracy.
I don't think I've convinced myself they're deep balls.
I mean, does this chart
I just said, I started this with, despite the lack of completions, I was impressed with the deep ball.
So, the standard you're operating here on, so I'm clear, is it seems like he's less likely to throw interceptions.
Now when he throws the deep ball, yes. Okay. Than he had been in past years, yes.
Well, the pass he left up had Matthew Gold not absolutely cooked that guy. That's an interceptable pass. The one he shorted.
The one in the end zone?
Yes.
Or the one...
No, the overthrow's an overthrow. Those happen. If you're going to miss anywhere, miss long.
Yeah.
That's sort of the common thinking of get it out there, let your guy make a play, so don't leave it short.
The shoulda, woulda, coulda been a touchdown to Matthew Golden where he underthrew it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that was interceptable.
Can I just say one thing about that throw? I want to have his back on the throw, which is now playing on the video stream courtesy of Amazon Prime. That ball got there so fast.
Yeah,
that ball was traveling at the speed of light, dude. Like, he put that thing on a string.
Yeah, we need to put more air on
it. He understood it. Yeah. He understood it. I agree. He understood it. But that, I mean, given how fast that ball was flying through the air, it wasn't interceptable. The defender did make a nice play on it and was able to bat it down. But he threw that ball so freaking fast. Which, by the way, quick tangent, quick side note. Evan Cohen, ESPN Raiders and Sportsman like.
Uh-huh.
He's always said, I played high school quarterback. Haha. Threw 7 interceptions and a half or whatever. Dude whipped the ball at me yesterday at the Tundra Trail. It hurt.
I mean, he played quarterback. He understands how to do it. He's just not good at locating it.
I mean, he put it right in the breadbasket.
Not good at it. It was
also from like me to Will away, so it was just a hear at my chest. It was crazy. Anyway, okay, continue on Love.
I think, and there's places that do this. I believe there has, well, except for the one that was intercepted last week and almost intercepted to Anzalone against the Lions.
That was a bad throw.
I felt like there were far fewer interceptable balls. And I think he has looked better, looked more control. I do think for him to unlock fully what he is capable of, he needs to be more successful on those deep balls. I think there is still a lot of room to grow. And I also think, like we saw on that pass to Matthew Golden, last year he had the tendency to always be throwing off his back foot. And if you watch that clip back, he is on his back foot. Now, there's a little pressure around him. It's certainly not... He certainly has the ability to get his weight forward and to make a better throw there.
Yeah, pocket collapsed a little bit, but he had time.
Yeah, that's all arm right there. Bro, he's not driving on it.
I just don't get how people look at that throw and don't go, that's a gorgeous throw. It's a little underthrown.
Because it could have been a touchdown. That's why.
Well, he throws that to the letters in the end zone. It's easily a touchdown, and then you're losing your mind over how great Matthew Golden is today.
Can I add context to your benefit a little?
Kings Land of Bar?
No.
Okay.
Dontavian Wicks had a deep route earlier that was a missed completion. That one was on Dontavian Wicks. He had inside leverage. Jordan Love was leading him to open field, so he's supposed to snap off and sort of get away, trail. So if you're on the inside of somebody, you want to go that way. He didn't do that.
Route runner Joshy.
It seems like he was sort of trying to lead Golden similarly.
Yeah.
Because if you look at like the body position, it seems like he was trying to do something similar there. And Matthew Golden, it's a much bigger problem that Dontavian Wicks still can't really understand inside leverage and where the defender has help or not. But I do think there is a little middle ground to be had there on those specifically.
All right. I want to do something before we get the stock up, stock down. I try not to talk a ton about sports gambling because I know not everybody does it, but I think it is a good context into understanding just how good the Packers are and just how well they're being represented nationally. Have you looked at updated odds today?
No, but I do want to say, how many more billion-dollar increases does sports gambling need to make before you make it a common part of what you talk about?
That's Josh DiMaggio of The Weekly Wager on ESPN Milwaukee.
Because, let me tell you,
Wednesdays from 6 to 7.
It's been record years for like 5 years.
I understand that. And I gamble. I participate. But I don't think everybody that watches this program does.
You willed there.
Huh?
I know not everyone's a sports gambler.
Everyone's not a sports gambler.
But everyone at this point understands.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, they should.
I mean, I'm going to try to educate
you. I feel like we need to poll this within the YouTube chat. No, I think we got to poll this. Because you're making dumb choices. We got to call you out on it. And
you're the producer. Do what you got to do. You produce the show. Okay. You got it? If you want to poll it. I'll read the poll.
What media would you sports media would you possibly be able to consume and not be confronted with gambling odds and lines?
Well, he's being a little unfair to me, no?
There definitely are people that are not familiar with gambling.
Let me tell you, they probably don't know how to use YouTube either.
Valid point.
People listen to the podcast.
Shout out podcast listeners. If you are one of the 8 listeners we have that don't understand gambling yet, God bless you.
Hey, Grandpa, looking at you. Grandpa Strofe listening to this going, what the hell is that Josh guy talking about?
Shout out to Grandpa Strofe.
All right. So, a couple of things. Number one, Super Bowl winner odds. Who do you think the favorite is?
Eagles.
No.
So then that's going to be Ravens?
Ravens are second plus 650. So you bet $100, you win 650 if the Ravens win the Super Bowl.
They put the Packers there.
They're not number one.
Bills. So is it Bills?
It's the Bills, yeah. Bills are plus 550. You win 550 if you put 100 out. Eagles and Packers are tied for third, plus 700.
Interesting. I looked at Pottawatomie this morning. I believe they were tied for the best odds.
In the NFC, they are.
Okay.
I'm talking Super Bowl winner overall.
Yeah, that's what. Are you looking at Pottawatomie right now?
Yeah, I'm looking at Pottawatomie. Okay. Yep.
I thought I saw, maybe I saw a tweet, because you see people putting out different sports book odds.
NFC Championship Conference winner.
Yeah.
Packers and Eagles are tied at plus 350.
The important thing to hear to me is are there four teams under 1,000?
There are, in the NFC, there's five. Or are you talking overall for Super Bowl?
Overall for Super Bowl.
There's four, yep.
Yeah.
It's the Bills plus 550, the Ravens plus 650, and the Packers and Eagles at plus 700.
And that grows to then after that, is it
1,200. That's the Chiefs, and then the Lions are 1,800.
That difference, that 500-point gap there, is communicating a lot to you there.
Yeah, there's four teams in the NFL that people view as realistic championship
contenders. The difference between those four, to me, is negligible.
Good word choice.
If somebody's plus 700...
Uh-oh. Will's face just scrunched up when he said that. He's thinking, do I write that down or not?
Negligence.
That's not what he said.
It's a synonym.
Nope, it's the same word.
Same word.
Different tense.
We have things we call prefixes and suffixes.
What were you saying?
A prefix is at the start of a word. A suffix is at the end.
He's right.
Not tense. It's not what we're looking at here.
Bills are the favorites.
But any difference there, like a difference between a plus 600 and plus 800, to me, is worth nothing. Mm-hmm. That's not a real difference.
The NFC odds are bizarre. So Eagles and Packers to win the NFC are both plus 350.
Yeah.
And then it jumps to plus 900 with three teams. Then.
Yeah.
Lions, Rams, 49ers, all plus 900.
Yeah.
It's the Packers or the Eagles. That's mm-hmm. how Vegas views this through one game in the second week of the season.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, two more things I want to throw out there real quick, yep. Josh, and then you roll. NFC North, Packers are minus 167, so you'd have to bet $167 to win 100. That's how minus and plus works for the eight of you uh-huh. that are unfamiliar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Second best odds in the NFC North is the Minnesota Vikings.
Huh.
Plus 375.
And the Lions are?
Plus 450 to win the division.
Oh, they... They tanked the Lions.
And then just to throw this out there for Will, Bears are plus 1,500.
Great value.
Get on now.
Let them lose again this week to the Lions and then bet on it.
So much value.
Buddy, you guys are going to get so banked.
Yeah. It scares me that it's a revenge game for Dan Campbell.
And then the last thing I want to bring up, Jordan Love has jumped to sixth best odds for the MVP.
Depoy, yesterday I looked... and Myles Garrett was tied at plus 600 with Myles Garrett.
I'm not seeing Depoy on here.
Then that would tell me what likely is going on there is because one of the defenders in that has played.
Oh, sure.
They've removed the odds because it could skew potentially how people would bet that.
Yeah. So there you go. There's the context in sports gambling for those.
It's important. So glad.
A lesson in sports gambling.
The question I always get from people that don't understand it is...
This could be... Hold on. Can we guess?
Could be literally anything.
Can we guess?
No, like people that don't understand sports gambling, they just ask you, if I bet $100, what would that win?
Yes.
Like with the odds and the numbers and the math, which I don't even know, but I just know who the favorites
Wait, hold on. What do you mean you don't even know?
So if someone was like, if the odds like minus 150 and someone's like, if I bet $100, how much does that win? I honestly
$75.
Do not know. Okay. I'm just letting the phone do it for me, man.
You're the best.
You would bet 150 and you would win 100.
I recently saw a comment on one of our YouTube videos.
But now in some states there's taxes, so it doesn't add up anymore. Oh, I'm being Jesus dead serious. Will. Illinois takes a tax off your winnings.
Yes, there is a tax.
Well.
Outsmarted.
I recently saw a comment on YouTube that was talking about why they love this show. Somebody was saying how much they love this show. Talked about, you know, Joshy being one of the best minds at ESPN Wisconsin. Me, you know, my dumb brain in chaos.
Can I guess what mine was?
I'll tell you in a second. Or you can guess in a moment. I think something about Hunter was his passion, because he's just a very passionate dude, which he is. I think we would all agree with that. Go ahead and guess what yours was.
My athleticism.
Your muscles.
Yeah, how muscular you are. How
smile.
How sexy you are to look at on the video stream.
Hair.
No, none of those. It was, Will's just a chill kid. good vibes.
Everyone needs a good vibes guy.
Will is definitely our good vibes guy.
I'm a man. I'm not a kid.
You're a kid.
You're a kid. In the context of everybody here, you're a kid.
I'm a grown-ass man.
No, you're not. Buddy. Buddy, I had to help you carry a love sack when we moved you into an apartment. You are a boy.
I responsibly sold it on Facebook.
How much?
$110.
It feels dismissive, but when he says, like, I'm a grown man, I just want to pat him on that. Yeah, right. Sure you are, slugger.
Okay, love sack.
Yeah, sport.
Sure you are, slugger.
Say it, Hunter, come on.
Yeah, you are, sport.
Sport.
Yeah. Oh, sport?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I thought
sport.
There was more. That was weak.
Okay, pal.
Thought you got cut off.
Pal almost gives him more credit than I'm willing to.
Yeah,
okay, bud.
Makes me sound like a sophisticated fella.
Buddy. He's just a little buddy. Little buddy. All right, let's get into stock up, stock down. We do this after every Packers game. We have some players whose stock rises after a game. We have some players or things or coaches whose stock falls after a given game. After the Packers' 27-18 win over the Washington Commanders, let's get in to some stock up, stock down. We start, of course, as we always do, with a stock up. And that goes to Tucker Kraft. What a game by him. It's a guy who we've talked about potentially taking that next step and the jump to becoming one of the best tight ends in the National Football League. And I thought last night was a really good example of why. He had that 57-yard catch, which he just had all the space in the world to run, and he just kept running and running and running and running. Six catches, 124 yards, and a touchdown for Tucker Kraft as he continues to evolve and look like he could be one of the best receiving tight ends in the National Football League. A great game for him, a career-high 124 yards in the Packers' win over the Commanders. Great game for him.
Yes. I tweeted out yesterday, and I don't think I was emotional overreacting. Tucker Kraft is a top three tight end in the NFL and a top 50 player.
Mm.
He's that talented, that much of a difference maker. His skill set is so rare that I want to get the Tucker Kraft extension done quick.
Well, they've got another year.
They do.
And that price is only going up.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't care. Unprecedented third year, 5 year extension. Don't care. Do it.
Do it.
Because he ain't going to be getting any cheaper.
No, he's not.
I've been a Tucker Kraft guy from day one. I think a lot of us have been. The way he stepped in as a guy from a small school, Luke Musgrave was clearly ahead of him. And then just every time he's out there and you can watch him blocking. You can watch him. He's working as hard as anybody on the field. Uh-huh. And his ability to break tackles, stiff arm, is just such a valuable weapon. And I was happy that the Green Bay Packers, even though his targets weren't that high in the grand scheme of things, typically when you see a stat line like his, uh-huh, you typically see a lot more targets go his way. But he was on one yesterday.
Sure was.
He looked like... And it feels like if the Packers wanted to, they could have just kept throwing him the ball and it would have kept resulting in big plays and first downs and touchdowns. So I love Tucker Kraft. I'm excited to see him continue to grow because as much as we've talked about Tucker Kraft, he has not reached his ceiling in terms of what he's capable of.
Yeah.
I'm going to move on to this fella here.
Stock up.
Yep.
Do it.
How do you like them apples? We've got a cornerback.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
Keyshawn Nixon had five.
Yeah, not one, not two, not three, not four.
Five pass breakups.
Yes, he did.
He played as good as I've seen a corner play since prime Jair. He looked like a guy who was not only confident, but talented enough to, two things happened yesterday. The Packers were targeting Marshon Lattimore, and the Commanders were targeting Keyshawn Nixon.
Yeah.
Lattimore, I believe, gave up like seven or eight receptions, and Keyshawn Nixon had almost as many pass breakups. I don't know why the Commanders were throwing the ball to Noah Brown so much. That's his right name,
Noah
right?
Brown, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's terrible. Like him.
Yeah, they should stop.
Yeah, I they shouldn't like him, but they do. Yeah.
Hey, hot tip for you, Cliff Kingsbury. Stop liking him so much. but I thought that was awesome to see from him, a guy who's been questioned seemingly every opportunity he's gotten, and he has answered the bell in such definitive ways that I still think you could certainly upgrade his position.
Yeah.
But I have no concern about him and the Packers secondary for the rest of the season.
Let's stay in that room, technically, with Javon Bullard.
Yes.
I thought he had a really nice night last night.
Let's be honest. He plays more cornerback than he does safety.
Yeah, I mean, he's their guy in nickel, excuse me, in the slot. I just thought he had a really nice night. No technical pass deflections, but at five tackles, I thought he was all over the field. And he's noticeable.
He's tackling. Yeah.
Including... Jaden Daniels.
Almost killed him.
He almost killed a man. Uh-huh. We probably should make that joke. The card came out yesterday.
Yeah, sorry, my bad.
He's okay, though. He made an Instagram post. But his season's over. But Javon Bullard, I mean, he took Jaden Daniels down.
Yes. And I thought there was also a few other opportunities. He's a guy that's been picked on at times.
Yeah.
He's also a guy who got thrust into a starting position facing one of the most difficult positions to cover and struggled at times. That'll happen for a rookie.
It sure will.
I think we're seeing a maturation there from him in a real And I don't want to. Oh, that's a good way to put this. I don't want to ignore the fact that all of those corners seem to be playing with a relative level of confidence that I don't know if they would have last year because of their confidence in the front seven and getting pressure. Those guys are just sitting on routes and saying, "Dare throw it here, I dare you."
Mm-hmm.
And almost every time they tried those short little dinky dunk routes, it was either a completion that was minimized or one that was knocked out of their hands and an incompletion.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to not just give a stock up to Jeff Hafley and the entire defense.
Yeah.
After what we've seen the last two games. So that's, I think, almost just expected. Everybody on defense pretty much gets a stock up. Four more sacks, up to eight sacks in two games. It's a pretty darn good start for a team that struggled with that last year, outside of two games. I've got two left for you. Stock up to the long ball. We talked about that. It's going to come together at some point. I promise you, Jordan Love is going to have a game where he's just throwing bombs, and they're going to connect. So stock up to the long ball, and stock up to one of my favorite players. Offense.
Chris Brooks.
You got it. Chris Brooks, stock up. Three receptions for him yesterday. And, dude, they use him as a fullback, and I love it. I get so excited. At one point, they had a 22 personnel out there, so two running backs, two tight ends, rather, with one receiver. They were out of the gun. Jacobs to the left, Brooks to the right, hand off to Jacobs, lead blocker is Chris Brooks. It got me so fired up. It was right in front of me.
I think the Packers are going to have to continue to get more and more creative, because when Chris Brooks is on the field, it very oftentimes signals we're throwing the ball, and I think teams might be able to take advantage of that.
Our poll over on ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube channel, do you understand sports gambling? 78% of people say yes, 22% of people
say
no.
80.
Mine says 80, and ESPN Madison's is 100%. Get wrecked.
He technically wasn't wrong, though.
I wasn't wrong.
He was speaking to 20% of people. If you really love the MIA, you care about all of them.
You know, one of the things they tell us as you're coming up as a broadcaster is you should appeal to 20% of your audience.
Good pop. Good pop. Good pop. All right, quick.
Well, actually, 10%. It's even worse.
Good pop by Josh. All right, real quick, stock down to kickers. I mean, doink, 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 doink.
Yeah. I got one stock up I need to sneak in before. Dontavian Wicks.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He's a player.
He is a player.
Right. I don't know if he's going to reach the potential I thought he could, but as a third option, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find many better. The drops are gone.
Agreed.
He looks like he knows what he's doing. I still think he has some figuring out of offense and coverages and how to handle them. But the guy's just open now, and he just catches the ball.
Four catches, 44 yards on six targets for him, including a 14-yard long for Dontavian Wicks yesterday.
And he's a dog when it comes to run blocking.
Stock down to kickers. Matt Gay goes 1-for-3. Brandon McManus goes 2-for-3, but 3-for-3 on extra points because they scored three touchdowns.
That short field goal McManus had, snuck it in.
Yeah. That was a...
Yeah,
I was holding my breath a little bit.
Yeah, I have a long stated feud with specialists. Brandon McManus being talked about how he was nearly perfect in training camp. Rob Demoski.
It was only going to come back to bite.
Going on the Boldathon and saying he wasn't going to miss a kick. And then that was a huge.
Lasted six quarters.
That was a huge momentum point. It didn't end up having really any bearing on the game. But to go from potentially giving up points and then the offense putting you in position to make said field goal, and then you doink it, that made me real upset.
PTSD for doinks, Will, as a Bears fan?
It's just a funny sound.
Make it for me.
And it echoes a little bit?
Yeah, that was good. That was actually pretty good.
You want me to do it again?
Yeah, one more time.
This time, don't...
Wow. Who's in charge around here?
I need a double doink if we're going to do a doink.
You're right. Give me the double doink.
Dude, why? Come on.
Do it.
Do it.
It's Friday, dude. We're so close.
Double doink.
Double doink. Double doink.
I'll give you one. I'll give you one really loud one with a couple echoes, and it might sound like two.
You know what sound that sounds like? Air horn.
Air horn.
That's what that sounded like. All right, turn the mic off. You're done. You're done. Oh, my God. Okay. That's stock up, stock down. Also, stock down to health after Jaden Reed breaks his collarbone.
Did I have any other stock downs in here?
You just put special stock down, teams. Kickers, all of them.
Special teams, I think, is fair. There was procedural issues. They had got a couple penalties. Matthew Golden
that bad punt
fielded
return.
A punt on the four.
And lost yards. Yeah.
And Keyshawn Nixon also had a questionable. The Packers just can't figure out punt return.
Well, in their defense, it was supposed to be Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed broke his foot. Now he broke his collarbone.
But it was supposed to be Jaden Reed last season. That
I think it will eventually be Savion Williams.
Yes.
They like him.
I hope. Yes. A guy who just was a non-participant really throughout much of training camp is like getting meaningful touches this quickly.
He had as many rushes as any other running back on the roster. Well, actually, more than any other running back on the roster, not named Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
Jacobs had 23 carries for 84 yards and a touchdown. Savion Williams, 2 carries for 24 yards. Matthew Golden, 2 carries for 15 yards. Jordan Love, 3 carries for 12 yards.
He is a guy who had a bunch of rushing touchdowns last season in college. He is a unique type of blend. Hunter had a perfect comparison of Cordell Patterson.
That was me.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that was Will.
Give credit to the wrong
person.
Well, Hunter, were you going to take the credit for that unless he said something?
No, I was checking in on our sports gambling poll. So luckily, Will jumped in there.
But I do think he was sort of talked about in the Percy Harvin, Cordell Patterson blend. Now, certainly those guys have had ups and downs throughout their career. Yeah. But I also think guys who play that position just sort of deal with that because you have a full head of steam. And you're sprinting into guys who are trying to tackle you, so that's going to lend itself to injury. And that's why they have a guy like that to replace putting Jaden Reed in that spot.
Should we give a stock up to Anthony Belton?
I thought he was fine.
I tend to agree. First real experience for him, though, obviously, the second round pick out of NC State for the Packers.
He was maybe the only holding call the Packers got on offense that I thought was worthy, but I'm not going to get too mad at a second round pick starting his first game, getting a hold of
it. I agree with you there. All right, let's move on to the injuries just to recap. So, Jaden Reed is going to miss some time. He's going to be put on IR with the broken collarbone.
6 to 8.
That's typically the timeline. I'm curious what he does with his foot now.
Somebody has mentioned that. I don't deny he has a Jones fracture. He's playing like he doesn't have one.
You coming around to Bukowski, who you buried last week?
I am not. I'm trying to say what a badass dog Jaden Reed is. That's what I'm trying.
He is a dog.
We talked about a lot on Green Bay game night that this may be a little bit of a blessing in disguise for him to get that Jones fracture right and give him time. And if he's been playing like this with the fracture, imagine him without it, fully healthy.
Well said.
I thought he looked, and I've been critical of him. Gabe Neitzel's been critical of him. I thought he looked more like a real wide receiver in the first two games. And I don't mean that as dismissive as it sounds. He looked more like a guy who can play inside, outside, and be more. He looked like more complete is the way I should have said it.
I would agree with that.
Yes.
Zach Tomlin has come out from Tom Silverstein's Spoon of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
You okay?
I had a little cough there. I don't know what happened there. Zach Tomlin dealing with a torn oblique muscle.
Not great.
Not good.
We don't love to hear it. Also, when you talk about dogs, Zach Tom is one of them as well. He played very quickly after, and to my estimation, played quite well.
After the peck?
Yeah.
Last year.
So I imagine he's going to take some time, and it might be a couple weeks. I think Doc McKenzie probably needs to make sure he does for Zach Tom as Zach Tom's unwilling to do for himself and make him sit out and rehab and get into a better position.
And Aaron Banks was dealing with two injuries, both an ankle and a groin injury. He sat out yesterday. They do expect him back at Sam's.
Can I have a confession?
Against the Cleveland Browns. Didn't miss him much?
Nope. Getting a little worried about that guy and his injuries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I have no problem
with
that.
The nice thing is Jordan Morgan stepped in and didn't notice.
No.
That it was someone else there.
Yeah, the rule of thumb, if you're watching a game on television, if you don't hear an offensive lineman's name, that's a good sign.
Yes.
It's a good sign.
I'm sticking by. I still think he's our best left tackle. I understand why he's not there. but I think he is going to continue to be very good.
Die on that hill. We'll see it next year.
Yeah, and I'll be right, and everyone will be like, huh, maybe this would have been better.
If they win the Super Bowl, nobody's going to think that, Josh. Fair point by me?
Fair point. Let's hope that's the case. I'll never mention it again.
If they win the Super Bowl, you're done talking about it.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I guess.
Rasheed Walker's been good, though, too, to be fair.
Hey, man. Only, what, 21 more weeks until Josh shuts up?
Well, yeah, because you got the...
Well, you've got 15 weeks left of the season. 16, really, but 15 weeks left of the season.
16, though, because, right?
And then 5 weeks in the postseason.
Because the season's 18 weeks long, though, because everyone...
Oh, yeah!
And then
21 was right!
And then you have the week off for the Super Bowl. Are you sure it's not 20?
No, it'd be 21 with a week off.
Hell yeah.
If the Packers win the Super Bowl, Josh has to do a one-week silent retreat.
What?
He can't talk for a week.
I don't know if you realize how much of a blessing that would be.
That sounds incredible.
Hey,
he'd enjoy that.
The players get their offseason. Josh needs his offseason. I'm supporting him.
Are you calling him our star player? He needs some rest. Uh-huh. Load management.
You got to rest your stars.
Yeah, sometimes I do. Sometimes I do. All right, time now for What We Missed and What We Learned, which is presented by Door County Distillery. Locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in Door County, just north of Green Bay. It's connected to Door Peninsula Winery. Go do the tours, do the tastings, check out the product. They are the best. Rums, whiskeys, gins, vodkas, brandies, anything you need to elevate your tailgate this season. Do it with Door County Distillery. Check out their website, doorcountydistillery.com, and find the retailer nearest you. All right, Josh, I want to address something. I texted you and Greg Scalzo something last night. You completely ignored it.
I ignored it because the response I was going to give you was the same one you got before I had gotten to it.
So Greg Scalzo, formerly of Scalzo and Bruss, now yep. Our boss here in Milwaukee, he's an avid hiccuper.
One of the world's most prolific hiccupers I've ever seen.
He is an adult that actively gets the hiccups often.
He gets the adult cups more than anyone.
The adult cups.
That's what we always used to call it. He's got a case of the cups.
I got a case of the cups in about the third quarter last night. I had only had a few beers. I wasn't wasted. You know, it wasn't like a wasted hiccup. I had just, you know, I think
no,
I had three beers.
You're just tweeting like it.
I just do that sober, yep. Though.
but that's a great thing is you get during a Packers game, Packers game, you can be 19 beers deep or 0 beers deep, and I wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah, and I don't make typos.
Not
so.
A compliment.
Yeah, there was a conversation that was had between Josh, Ryan, and I that were like, is Strofe getting that after it? Because he's getting out there.
You're talking behind my back?
Sure were.
All right, read it to me. We'll get back to my cup situation in a moment.
I like how his defense is that he doesn't make typos.
when,
nice comma.
When we're talking about the subject matter being lacking.
All right, so who started the group chat? Who started the group chat?
Why don't you pick who you think would
I think it was Wally.
Yes.
Okay, yep. What'd he say?
I'm actually looking for it here.
I just don't love that you're talking trash behind my back. Say it to my face.
Okay, here we go. 8:50 p.m. Wooly
said I've started to.
Wooly sends us your tweet. Loves deep ball is just complete money tonight.
Might be an exaggeration.
You think? To which he responded, please give him blank for this tomorrow. I seriously can't get over that he tweeted this. And that's what started it.
Good.
I replied with, that's
Hunter
bad.
Hunter responded, that's bad. I said he missed golden twice and a half.
Ryan, and exactly, then, LOL.
And then it just carries on. We saw you tweet. First, you accused Dove Kleiman of being AI. Yeah. And then shortly thereafter, tried to argue with the person you said was AI. And that was when I said, okay, maybe he's had some libations. Maybe he's having a good time. Because
okay, so Dove Kleiman is AI.
I don't know.
I think
that
somebody
for
runs
sure.
The account. Like a human being runs the account.
I don't think AI is the wrong word. Dove Kleiman just doesn't exist.
Yeah, AI would be the wrong word. He's just a fake person.
Yeah. It's there's someone behind it who
But calling that throw to Golden awful in all capital letters, a little dramatic.
Here's
no?
the thing.
It wasn't an awful throw.
Some of us who use social media the right way say things in an exaggerated
What's
form.
That supposed to mean?
Yeah, you wouldn't get it.
You're saying I use it the wrong way?
You use it in your own way.
And it works. Works for me. Works for me.
But accounts like that and the aggregator accounts oftentimes are just looking for a reaction. They tweeted about Desmond Watson, the 400-pound...
Oh, yeah, a million times
because it got interactions. Like, they said, we got something here. Let's keep throwing it out there.
I digress. Anyway, I texted you and Greg Scalzo, how do I get rid of the cups? And Greg said, drink three more beers.
Yes.
Not what I did. I think I unlocked how to get rid of the hiccups. However, my nose hurts today. So all I did...
Gonna need a fall. The hiccups are a thing that have afflicted humans, Homo sapiens, the bipedal creatures that have walked the earth for now thousands of years. The cure to it has been a hot debate, an unsolvable mystery. And you, who knows all the cities, all the capitals, all the biggest, you now think, hey, I had beer and I figured it out?
No, that's what you're going to say to me? That's not what I'm going to say. It wasn't beer.
No, but you drank beers, you got the hiccups, and then they went away. So now you think you're providing a message to everyone. This would be breaking news. This would be medical journal stuff.
Close one nostril. Inhale. It hurt my nose a little bit, but that's all I did. I just closed one nostril.
What do you mean it hurt your nostril?
My nose is a little raw today.
How many times did you do it?
Just once.
How would it be raw from that?
I did a big inhale sitting in my bleachers at Lambeau.
Just a vigorous inhale?
Yeah.
I would not do that again on camera if I were you.
Yeah.
Now.
I understand why you'd say that. Not what I was doing. Not what I was doing.
Now,
look how red my face is.
Hunter.
Oh, caught me off guard there.
I have one goal for you, the end of this show, and we don't have to put it out in public. We can get approval, but I need him doing that, and somehow I need him inhaling like Green Bay Packers things, like Micah Parsons, Jordan Love, Matthew Golden.
A cheese head.
Yeah, okay. All of it going up. I don't know if you're capable of that, who we need to employ for that, but when you get somebody who does that on camera, you have to take advantage.
Yep. I will
bad
get on
by
that.
Me. I will come out flat out saying, bad on me. That was a bad idea. It's a bad idea. Gerald says, the Micah trade broke Skip Bayless, and now I think it's breaking Strofe. Chef Boy says, Strofe's here for a good time, not a long time.
I mean, to think that the thousands of years of human existence, no one had considered...
I had it figured out!
Do you think no one has ever tried what you've done? The history of mankind, billions and billions.
I believe it's tried, but people kept it a secret. I know how to cure the hiccups.
I don't think that to be the case.
I have not gotten hiccups in legitimate years, so I don't know the next time I'll have them, but I'm going to try again, and I will let you know if it works.
Do you know what things called coincidences?
Not familiar.
I think that might be it. And there's also other terms we use for things like this where you attribute. Things that causation versus correlation. Get familiar with that.
All right, I can do that. All right, Will, what did we miss?
Not really any words today. I think
hold on. I just said one.
Libations?
Vociferous.
All right, give me a second.
You don't got a chance in hell at that word.
Where have you been?
Vociferous?
He's just spell that. Hold on, time out. Spell it. What did you just type into Google? Okay. Spell it. Spell what you just typed in.
The actual spelling I came up. But
did you put an F in?
Yes, he did. Look at him smile.
Yes, but that's how it's spelled.
Isn't it with a V?
Well, vociferous. V.
Yeah, this is how I spelled it. Vulcoferous.
Actual spelling.
Vociferous. One word off.
One letter off.
You added one letter off. You added one that wasn't there, and I believe it was a U instead of an O.
And I think you also added an L.
There's an O in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you told us you said V-U.
V-U-L.
Yeah, the L was the... Yeah, there's three. It's a long word.
And what does it mean, Will?
Still like 30% off.
This can't be right. This might be like a tree. The definition just says vehement or clamorous.
Yeah.
Two words I also don't
know. Jeez.
We're going to be here all day. We got to go. That does it for us. Great job, Will. Great job, Josh. Great job, Can Hunter.
He's got to use it in a sentence.
I'm going to have him send us out with it. Packers win 27-18. They are now 2-0. Get the weekend off. They will take on the Cleveland Browns next week, which we will preview with you beginning Monday. We will also recap the weekend that was with Will's week in review on Monday. I hope Vociferous makes an appearance. All right, Will. That does it for us. We will talk to you on Monday. Will, go ahead and send us out.
Strove has a Vociferous Twitter account.
Hmm.
Peace!